Today on episode number 412 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we're going to learn the ins and outs of having your own podcast network. We're going to hear from Christopher Jones of Trek.fm on how he goes about selecting hosts for his network, the ins and outs of media hosting that he's had, and many other insights, as well as a phenomenal Because of My Podcast story. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very, very much for tuning in. Look, this is where we talk about all things podcasting. I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone. We flatten the learning curve on your path to pain-free podcasting. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Want to join in on the conversation? I would love to hear from you. It's super easy. Just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And you know, I always like to start off the show with some news or a podcast success story. And that's what we have today from Bill Hutchison. Really super guy. And check this out. If you've ever thought about, I wish I could do something, but I'm kind of stuck, listen how podcasting has opened the door for Bill. And I didn't know this about Bill, and it's, well, I'm just going to let it play. It's cool.
Hi, Dave. This is Bill Hutchison from the Youth with a Mission News Podcast at ywampodcast.com.
And again, just so you know that, YWAM, as in WYAMpodcast.com, Youth with a Mission.
In the last episode of the School of Podcasting that you recorded, I heard that you were a bit low on Because of My Podcast story. So I wanted to just record one from my own experience. So the main podcast that I do is the Youth with a Mission News podcast at ywampodcast.com. And I'm excited to say that podcast has been downloaded over 110,000 times now, which is really exciting to know that that many people have heard about our Christian missions organization and, you know, what we're doing. What I wanted to actually do my because of my podcasting story about those, actually my personal podcast. One of the things that's kind of unique in my life is that my wife has a disability. And so because of that, I'm not able to travel. I'm not able to do very much outside of the home because generally I have to stay home and take care of her and take care of the kids. And so that leaves me with, you know, being unable to travel and being very limited in just the amount of time I can spend away from the home, usually limited to a few hours. So what my personal podcast, which is at billhutchison.org, has allowed me to do is, even though I'm not able to travel and I'm not able to go anywhere really outside of my immediate area, I have still shared my testimony or my story of my relationship with Jesus Christ.
I should have said invisible sky buddy alert.
In 29 different countries. And a lot of these countries are countries that I've never visited. And that,
can we stop there right for a second? 29 countries, many of them he's never visited. Can we just for a second slow down in life and go, 29, can you think about how long it would take to go to 29 different countries? How much money it would take to go to 29 different countries? All the passports, all the shots you'd have to take to go to 29 different countries to get your message out. And here's Bill, a good husband, who's taking the cards that life has dealt him, doing the best he can, and reaching, he's taking advantage of that global audience. Awesome.
I probably wouldn't visit. So some of the countries that it's actually been heard in have been Saudi Arabia, India, Indonesia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, the United Arab Emirates, Iraq, Vietnam, Kazakhstan, Israel, Kuwait. I mean, these are places that I've never traveled to and never really thought about traveling to.
Come on. Isn't Kuwait like a big vacation site at this point?
But because of my podcast, the story of my journey with Jesus and my relationship with him has been heard there, which, given the fact that I can't travel, because of, you know, health reasons and the challenges that are there. You know, because of my podcast, I've still been able to share the hope that is in me through Jesus Christ into those places. So, Dave, again, thank you so much for the School of Podcasting. I listen every week, and I look forward to hearing more. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Wow, great story, huh? And I thought about that when I was listening to that today. I'm like, you know what? I do take for granted the number of countries that this is heard in. And the fact that, you know, thousands of people hear this show every week. I always say the very first voicemail I got was from Germany. And I was sitting next to the water heater where at that time I podcasted. And I literally about fell out of my chair. So if you have something that you want to get the word out, maybe it's global warming. Maybe it's the fact that our food is filled with so much junk. Whatever it is, your cause, your business, you got to get the word out about your business. Podcasting is an extremely affordable way to reach country after country after country.
In case you missed it,
it's time for a podcast rewind.
Oh yeah, new segment on the show. That, of course, courtesy, you can tell. Doesn't everybody know Mike Russell's voice at this point? From Music Radio Creative. Check him out over at schoolofpodcasting.com/MRC. That's my affiliate link. Make all sorts of fun stuff. And this is basically, if I hear something on a podcast and I'm like, oh, I that was way, way cool. And we're going to talk about this in the future. So if you ever wonder how I get ideas, this is one of them. I'm just peeling back the curtain right now so you can see what inspired it. And this week, it's from a podcast I was interviewed. It hasn't been published yet, but I'll be appearing on the Purpose Rockstar podcast at purposerockstar.com. And it's hosted by Derek Duplessis. Really nice guy. It's an entrepreneur podcast that is put out 5 days a week. And he was interviewing one of my favorite people on the planet, which, of course, is Ken Blanchard, my brother from another mother. You can find him at blackmanwithagun.com. Find the book, Black Man With A Gun, at Amazon. Super great guy. And there is we just got a lot of invisible sky buddy stuff going on today. There's actually a verse in the Bible, I believe it's in Timothy, where he says, be prepared to share your story, or in a biblical sense, be ready to share your faith. And check this out. Derek asked Ken to tell us about his podcast, and boom, he was ready.
You have a lot of things going on, Rev. Talk about your three podcasts. Do like a 30-second commercial for each and just describe each of them.
All right. First, you're listening to the Black Man with a Gun Show, the show for the gun rights community, with cool people, positive people, talking about guns, firearms, and the stuff that matters to us. The second one is you're listening to the Unnamed Church Podcast, your Christian inspiration station, giving you 5 to 10 minutes Monday through Friday, just in case you're not in church today, just in case you're not going anywhere and you need to connect with your Heavenly Father. I'm your pastor, Ken Blanchard. And then finally, That's Life Blanchard. It's The Johnny Carson Show. It's a little bit of everything. I'm going to give you my Bill Cosby, my Arsenio Hall. I'm going to give you all the knowledge of a Yoda, of a guy who's been around the block, who's failed and still stands. And it's called That's Life. I've been a pirate. I've been a poet. I've been a pauper. And I've been a king. And that's life.
Very, very cool stuff from, again, one of my favorite people on the planet. But if somebody came up to you right now and said, well, tell me a little bit about your podcast. And so I'm going to be going out. If you are a person who goes around teaching people how to do elevator pitches, or if you got a cool article on elevator pitches, you know, schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And one of the things that's kind of cool about this week's show is we have Christopher from Trek.fm. I'm going to be interviewing him here in a second. And he's got a background in all sorts of media. And coming up, we got Joe from StackingBenjamins.com. He is going to be in a future episode, and he's got a background in morning television. So it's kind of cool to pull people from my audience and we all get involved in a conversation that benefits you and me together. So I'm really looking forward to that. I want to let you know before we get to that interview, a couple quick ways you can save here. Now, if you go to, I have two separate things. So first things first, if you want to get some insights, if you want to get a fresh perspective on your podcast, maybe you've already got a podcast and you want a new set of ears on it, a new set of eyes, go over to podcastreviewshow.com/reviewme. And the coupon code is SOP50. You'll get 50% off a review. This is myself and Eric K. Johnson, better known as the podcast talent coach, that are going to listen to your show, find out what we feel you're doing right, and find out those things that maybe you could be doing better. We're going to have you come on the show, the podcast review show, live so we can ask you questions and help you create engaging content and make sure the technology behind you isn't going to fail when you get that big audience showing up. So again, that coupon code is SOP50 at podcastreviewshow.com. The other coupon code I have is LISTENER, LISTENER. And you can use that at the School of Podcasting, and that will help you save on your first month at the School of Podcasting. And again, this is where you're going to get the step-by-step tutorials and really just from every aspect. You want to learn how to plug in your equipment. Maybe you bought a bunch of $1,000 worth of equipment. You don't know how to set it up. We've got tutorials to help you through that. Of course, you got little old me along the way to answer any kind of email. You don't have to pay me to answer your email. You're a member of the School of Podcasting. You are good to go. Also, if you want, if you have no website at all, but you want to start a podcast, you're ready to go, email me with the phrase quick start in the email. And what happens is you can order my hosting through the company that I use, order it through my link. I earn a commission. And because I earn a commission, I say thank you to giving you a free month at the School of Podcasting. Plus, I will actually install WordPress on your website and all the plugins you need to start getting, you know, with your podcast. And it's a great win-win for everybody. You get a website, you get a month at the School of Podcasting, and you're ready to go. And all you have to do is send me an email that says quick start. And really, you're going to spend, what, $8 on hosting? And you just, it's a win-win-win. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Again, schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. Now, on to the interview with Christopher from Trek.fm. All right. Well, joining me from the future over Skype, we have Christopher Jones, who's actually in Tokyo. And this is so cool. Again, if you listen to the show, you know I always get giddy when I talk to someone across the pond. He's in Tokyo, and he's got a background in marketing and editing and magazines and all sorts of fun stuff. And you can find his stuff over at Trek.fm. And Christopher, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, David. I listen to you all the time. I love your show. And as you said, I'm across the pond, but I'm across the other pond, the really, really big pond.
The really, really, really big pond.
That's right.
And this is where Skype is so cool, because you sound like you're right next door.
And, oh, good.
Yeah, you sound great. So, well, let's just start off with the basic stuff. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your podcast.
Well, as you said, my name is Christopher Jones, or as a lot of people on Twitter know me as C. Brian Jones. I've almost wondered if I should change my name because I use that for pretty much everywhere. But I am, as you said, living in Tokyo. I've been here for about 18 years now, and I love Star Trek, which is why my network is Trek.fm. I decided a few years ago, you know, I started listening to podcasts in 2004. I think Adam Christensen's MacCast was the very first podcast I listened to and the only podcast I listened to for quite a few years. I always thought about podcasting. Finally, in 2010, I decided to do it. And I, as you mentioned in the opening there, I have, my background is in design, publishing, and marketing. I'm a designer by trade. I was the managing editor and art director of a lot of magazines over the years. Then I did corporate marketing and branding as well. And I reached a point where I felt I had experience in enough areas that I could roll them all up together and really tackle the subject that I'm most passionate about, which is Star Trek. And started with one show, and we ended up now with this network of 16 shows.
16 shows. Oofa. And what was the first show that you started?
The very first show I started is a show called Hyper Channel, which I recently relaunched after an 18-month hiatus. And it was a video podcast because one thing that led me to podcasting finally after all those years of listening to podcasts was Leo Laporte and the Twit Network, and because I love technology as well. And I liked the idea of being able to engage with the audience through video. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do a video show, but it's just going to be me. I'm not going to have all these people piped in. And so I wanted to cover Star Trek news. I wanted to start out simple. And this went on for about almost 2 years. And then we finally put it to bed after we had evolved so much into an audio network that we weren't getting enough return on the time investment to do video. Doing video is really difficult.
And I want to pause you there. So here, this is one of the things I like about this interview is here, Christopher started off in one direction, found out, this is taking a little more work, maybe not getting quite the return that they wanted on it, didn't quit, but instead tweaked what he had started.
And so that was the first show, though, was Hyper Channel, Star Trek News.
And you said you've evolved into 17 different shows?
We have 16 right now, okay. And then we have a master feed, which makes a 17th feed that we have, and that has all of our episodes from all the shows in one place where people, because we have listeners, it amazes me, I don't know how they do it, we have listeners who actually listen to everything we put out from all of our shows.
Are they different versions of the Star, like is one about, you know, the Kirk years, another one's the Picard show, and how do you get 16 different shows talking about the same subject?
That's right. We have Earcast for Spock. We have Toupé Cast for Kirk. And, no, I'm kidding. No, it's a really good question because people wonder, why do you have so many shows? And the reason is, I think a lot of it comes from my background in magazines, which is that I like to compartmentalize things. I like to have a focus.
I love that line. I like to have a focus. So he's taking his love of Star Trek, but he's also, like you said, compartment. You'll hear his background in magazines. And this is where I say your podcast is going to be different than other people because of your background, because of your experience.
So if someone's going to listen to one of my shows, I want them to know what they're going to get. And within Star Trek fandom, you have fans like me who love all of Star Trek, but you also have fans who love the original series, or fans who love Voyager. And so what I wanted to do was to give fans of each series a show in which we could really, really dig deeply into the minutiae of that series, and we can focus on that. And what's unique about our shows is that we don't do episode reviews. And there's enough of those out there. And if someone wants to listen to that, there are podcasts they can listen to.
I love it. So Christopher went outside of the box. Also, in case you're wondering, Minutia is not that band from the 80s made up of really cool Hispanic people. Minutia means details. I'm just playing.
So we didn't want to do that. What we do instead is we really dig into the characters or the themes or the plot lines or any type of minutia about each individual series. And we'll just talk on that point for that episode.
So when you have a new show idea or somebody comes up with a show idea, what goes into starting a podcast?
Even now that I've launched 16, I've actually launched 18 podcasts because there are two that we don't have going anymore. But after starting this many podcasts, I still like to plan.
Oh, did you hear that? He doesn't just jump in. He doesn't just wing it. He has an idea, but before he hits record, I love that.
I want to make sure that I have all my ducks in a row and that I know the show is viable. Like I've had someone ask me before, can you create a show for me? Because I want to talk about this topic or I want to interview people. That's what I want my show to be about, but I don't have any way to distribute it. So can you do it for me and it'll be on your network? And I tell people that it's really, really easy to start a podcast. It's another thing to make a show that's viable, that can run for 50 or 100 or 500 episodes and never get stale, because you have to keep coming up with new stuff every week and it has to be engaging to the audience. And so I will look at the concept and decide, first of all, does this need to have its own show, or can it fit into some of our existing shows as an occasional segment or feature? And then I will identify hosts, because everyone on my network is someone who I've met and gotten to know them, because we have a show called The Ready Room, which is our second oldest podcast. And it's a roundtable discussion about Star Trek. And it's a great way for me to bring new people into the panel and get to know them and how they view Star Trek and how they interact with others in a discussion setting. And from there, I can figure out if they are good hosts for their own podcast.
So here we go back to again. Is that even a right phrase? Here we go back to again. Again, we go back to, it all comes back to relationships. It all comes back to connecting with people, not just walking into a room and going, "Hi, I'm Dave. Listen to my podcast." You've got to make that connection. And that's what Christopher has set up. He has an open discussion so he can get to meet you and talk with you and see what you're like. I know when I interviewed Jordan Harbinger from The Art of Charm, he was the first person I ever talked to that before he would come on my show, just wanted to connect to see what I was like, if I had any kind of energy, what kind of radio, what kind of audio, what kind of podcast, what kind of content we were going to create. So here again, boils down to the relationship.
And that's how we've launched most of our series shows. And so I think it's really important that there's chemistry between the hosts.
You will hear in a future episode with myself and Joe from StackingBenjamins.com talking about the importance of chemistry.
And so I make sure that the show is going to be viable from that standpoint as well. So someone's not going to just walk out the door after 10 episodes. And because there's nothing worse than getting listeners into a show and then changing up the cast on them.
Yeah, slamming the door in their face. Yeah.
Right, right. And so then I will also outline possible topics, a long list of these are things we can cover on the show so we can make sure that we've got a dozen or two dozen or more topics. And again, this probably comes from my background managing magazines, where you really need to do an editorial calendar for the year.
And so think about that. He's outlined 10 to 20 items. This then helps you determine, do we have enough content here for an actual podcast? Now, that doesn't mean you can't do a podcast that's 7 episodes and you quit on purpose, because that's all there is to say on that. But if you want to have kind of an ongoing discussion, a connection with your audience, it's nice to sit there and go, well, do we have enough content? And then maybe if there isn't a ton of content and you want to keep it ongoing, maybe you just decide to do shorter shows.
Because sponsors need to know what topics you're going to cover as well, so that the sales staff can go out and actually sell advertising for the magazine. So that's important as well. And then the final things, I'll think of components like music or artwork or such, but because we're a very tightly branded network, that stuff usually falls in place very easily.
Well, because you have a background in, print and magazine, for somebody who's like maybe not exactly sure what you mean, when you say your calendar, did you actually plan out like a year in advance with a magazine?
Generally, yeah. You know what the features are going to be. Now, anything's flexible, right? So the magazines I worked on were typically entertainment lifestyle magazines, like music and movies and travel and such, especially here in Japan. And with those, you can plan out features well in advance. In magazines too, and this is something that takes some adjustment when you're doing podcasting, if you come from a print background, is in magazines, you're always working 6 to 8 weeks ahead of the issue date. And so you have a lot of lead time. With podcasting, I typically work with much, much less lead time.
And I know, myself included in that, many times I don't know on Monday what I'm going to be talking about the following Monday. Now I've kind of stepped up. I've also interviewed Scott Johnson from Computer Tutor Florida, and I've told you about a couple of different ideas I'm working on. Now I'm working on the idea of how to develop the perfect elevator pitch for your podcast. That's an idea. So these are things that I'm always working on as time goes by. And when I have a few minutes and I'm bored in line at the grocery store, I can fire up my phone and start doing search and organizing my thoughts on those topics. But it's nice to always be working ahead of time so that you're not so stressed out. Yeah, I was going to say, I can't see planning a year ahead, but you do still have kind of a calendar for your podcast.
Yeah, it depends on the show. Like some of our shows are planned out quite well. We'll do like 2 or 3 months. And then some of our shows, we kind of wing it. You know, like we have it in our heads, things that we'd like to talk about, especially shows where it's just the same two hosts every single week. And we'll just chat like next.
So let him finish.
Next week, let's talk about this. And then the next week, let's talk about that.
So they're not winging it on, let's just hit the mic and come up with whatever comes up to our head. They have a topic. They haven't scripted out what they're going to say. So before we also go, hey, Dave, I thought you said you're not a fan of winging it. No, no. They have a topic. The hosts have probably studied it. They know what they want to say, but they haven't said, hey, you're going to say this, then I'm going to say that, and then you say this, and then I say that. That's the part that is impromptu.
Got it. And are you doing anything in terms of distribution? Obviously, I'm sure you're in iTunes and Stitcher and things like that. Anything outside of the box on that?
I fell into a trap that I think a lot of podcasters probably fall into. So I'm an Apple guy. And so when I think about content consumption, I'm always thinking about my iPhone and my iPad and my Mac. And so when I first started podcasting, I put things in iTunes and I thought, okay, that's great. Everyone goes to iTunes to get their stuff, right? But then I came to realize that it doesn't matter how you consume your content. It only matters how others consume their content. So you have to think about the audience, not yourself. And so over time, I have branched out and I've widened our distribution. And now we're pretty much everywhere that I know of.
Who's like your main media host?
That's an interesting story.
Okay.
our main media host now is Libsyn.
Okay.
And I will tell everyone who's thinking about starting a podcast right now, go to Libsyn. And I don't get anything from Libsyn.
But I do. I'll pause him here. If you use the coupon code SOPFREE, you can get a free month at Libsyn, and that's Libsyn.com.
I'm one of those people who, because I have a background in design and web design, and I've been designing websites since 1995. And so naturally, owning my own company as well, I had a web host. You know, I had a hosting server where my company website was and where I would host client websites as well for certain special campaigns. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll just throw my podcasts here on this hosting server. It's really easy. I've got the space.
Right.
I FTP them right up. It's a cinch. And it worked really well for about a year or so. And then our audience continued to grow and grow and grow.
So here again, I'm going to interrupt this story because we've talked about this in the past. Here's somebody who has lived through it, that so many times we want to start off and go, well, let's see what happens. So we try all this free stuff, and lo and behold, who knew people like Star Trek? Well, hello, it's Star Trek. And as he said, as time goes on, and those first few people tell more people and more people, you run into a situation like this.
And we reached a point where our hosting company, which is not Squarespace, our website is built on Squarespace. We hosted our media with another company. And the hosting company got really miffed with us because it wasn't so much the amount of disk space we were using, although that was really substantial. It was the amount of bandwidth that we were using because we were on a shared hosting package.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pushing terabytes of bandwidth every month, which just, you know, our downloads were, and it was a lot of traffic. And it was starting to really impact other things hosted on that server, other shared hosting accounts. And they sent me an email and they said, it looks like you're using our servers for backup. And of course, I wasn't using it for backup, but I was using it as a CDN, which is generally a violation of the terms of service for most shared hosting accounts. And I didn't know that at the time. So I was in the wrong there. And they told me, you have 4 days to get everything off the server.
Wow.
And we're going to shut down the account. And at that point in time, we had about 700 show pages on our website.
Wow.
And so depending on how old the page was, we had two or three URLs that would have to be recoded by hand on over 700 pages.
Nice.
So I talked to them and they were very understanding. I said, look, I'm really, really sorry. I know I'm in the wrong here. I was using this for something that you didn't intend me to use it for. There's no way I can move this media in 4 days. I said, can you give me 30 days? And they said, okay, that's fine. Just keep us updated. Let us know how it's going. And if you can get everything off in 30 days, that'll be fine. So I recoded everything in 10 days. I deleted everything off the server and I closed down the account. Now, I was in a big rush to move everything. And shame on me for not knowing more about Libsyn. I don't know why I did not know more about Libsyn, but I didn't. So that's something that hopefully everyone listening to your show every week knows now where to go. That, of course, there's Libsyn. There's also Blueberry,
right.
You know, two big media hosts for devoted just for podcasters.
Because in some cases, they can take your RSS feed and just grab your files
right
automatically from your feed. And
right.
Upload them to your server. And then it's just a matter of you going back and copying and pasting into your pages.
But the best thing to do is to do it right from the beginning and not fall into this trap. So what I did is I moved things to Amazon S3 because it was really easy.
Oh boy.
And it's, you know, I mean, it works great.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with S3 is that as your audience continues to grow, then your costs also grow.
Yeah.
And our costs began to rise really, really quickly. And also to get understandable metrics from S3, you have to connect a different service like CloudStat, which is what I used. So finally, I moved to Libsyn. And just trust me, if you're listening to this and you're starting a podcast, do it right. Go to a dedicated podcast hosting company from the beginning. Don't put stuff on your own server.
And don't put things on Amazon. When I was testing Amazon S3, and it was a short test, I think I used them for maybe 2 or 3 months, and my last bill was over $40. I went, okay, this is getting expensive really quick.
Yeah, well, see, mine are you know, in the hundreds.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's got to be a lot bigger than that. So
yeah.
So you've developed a network then. So was that the original plan? Was I'm going to launch a podcast and then launch a network, or was that something that just evolved?
My original plan, as I mentioned up front, was to do video podcasts, and I quickly realized that I don't want to do video podcasts because although it's cool and it's fun to watch something like Twit, it's hard for someone starting out in podcasting to pull off a video podcast and do it well. It's a lot easier to do an audio podcast where you have more control, you don't have such taxing requirements on the technology infrastructure. We have hosts all around the world, and some people have connections where they can't get a sentence out without it breaking up online. So we do double enders for everything with our regular hosts. We don't use any online audio on our shows.
So just so you know, if you're new to this, like, what is a double ender? It means I record just my side of the conversation and you record just your side of the conversation. And then somebody sends their audio to the other person and that person assembles it. It's actually the best way to get the best quality. It's just, it's a little more technical, takes a little more time, but it does give you the best results.
We record everything locally, drop it in to a multi-track in Audition. I want it to sound as great as it possibly can because almost all of our content is evergreen. People are going to listen to it years from now. And I took an original idea I had, it was called Scan. And what Scan was, is it was a short, like a 15-minute show that delved into the minutiae of each series. And we were going to have Scan TOS for the original series, Scan TNG, Scan DS9, la, 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 like this. And I quickly realized that if I wanted to produce those, I would have to do nothing but sit in Final Cut, you know, round the clock, 7 days a week to produce 15 minutes of content each day.
And again, that's because he was doing video shows. And this goes back to the episode we were talking about last week on schoolofpodcasting.com/410, is the fact that it's one thing to make the shows, it's another one, do you have time to promote it? And in his case, he was like, I don't think I'm going to have enough time to do these shows, and oh yeah, my day job. So it's something to think about. Are your goals in line with this little thing called a 24-hour clock.
And I can't do it. And so those ideas morphed into our 5 dedicated series shows. And from there, we got into even more minutiae, like Melodic Treks, which is only about music in Star Trek, and Literary Treks, which is only books and comics. And we interview authors as well very frequently.
As I listen to this, it's more examples of just super niche. When we're talking about the music of Star Trek, it's like, wow, okay. So, and I'm assuming, is it kind of the same result where the people that find that, obviously you're going to have a smaller audience, but the people that find it, are they just like rabid about the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I think with the niche things like the music, not everyone cares about the music of the show. Mm-hmm. You know, they're interested in the spaceships or the battle scenes. Right. But usually the people who listen to the niche shows like Melodic Treks or Literary Treks, they're going to listen to The Ready Room, which is about everything Star Trek. And they're going to listen to the 5 dedicated series shows. Because if you start with the niche topics, then the listeners bubble up as you get broader and broader in scope. But it doesn't really go the other way around.
So you decided to build this network. How did you, like, obviously you're a guy after my heart here that loves to plan things out. What were some of the things that, in terms of guidelines and just big picture, that you said, okay, we are going to build a network and here's what it's going to do and here's what's going to be the benefit for people that are on it and here's how I'm going to pick my host and things like that. What were some of the things that you, kind of the guidelines that you used to build it?
Well, I approached it pretty much like I was creating a magazine. Because okay. And even now, even though it's audio and it's a family of podcasts, I still view it like a magazine. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes I make decisions based on that experience that don't work in podcasting, and I have to go back and change things. But ultimately, I view all of our shows not as individual shows, but as sections of a magazine or chapters in a book. So Trek FM is the magazine or the book, and then Standard Orbit and Earl Grey, they're all sections within that book or magazine. And if you're interested in that, you can flip over to it. It's like you get a magazine and they have a sports section and they have a science section, you know, like a broad general interest magazine. Well, if you don't care about sports, but you care about science, you're going to read the science section and you're never going to flip to the sports section.
Right.
But because they're part of the same publication, they're branded the same. It's part of a cohesive whole. And so that's how I approached building the network. So our branding is very tight. We have all these shows and we have all these hosts, but we have one Twitter account. Hmm. We have one uniform brand identity, both in terms of our messaging and in our visuals. Our shows each have their own character because that comes from the hosts. But they all follow a similar flow. You know, we have a bumper up front. This episode is brought to you by so-and-so. We introduce the topic. We have a closing. We have a network promotional spot that's the same across all the shows each week. We tell people where to find us, how to share their feedback with us. That's the same across all the shows because we're one big family. We're one big network. A lot of networks I see are like confederations where they're unrelated topics, they're disparate shows that have just kind of come together in an agreement that they'll kind of cross promote each other. But the audience is going to be very, very different for the different shows on the network, whereas our audience is potentially interested in every single show on our network. So when we cross promote, it makes sense. And so that's why I view it as one publication with sections.
Well, what are your thoughts on that? For somebody that's like, well, you know, Tim's got a sports show, I've got a science show, and Jill has a health show, and this person has a comedy show. Because we're all different, we're going to band together. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that it can be good for exposure because anytime you can come together in a group, you can potentially reach a larger audience, of course. Mm. But at the same time, I think that networks only work if there's one person at the top who's in charge, who ultimately makes the decisions. And that's not to mean someone who's a dictator or anything like that. It's just that it's really hard to reach a consensus when you have a loose group of people
right.
who don't have a unified vision of what's going on. And so I think that if you were to join a network, because I hear people say that this network, and they're usually smaller networks, right? Not like 5x5 or Nerdist, not these big networks, but smaller networks that we see cropping up
right.
will invite shows. Like, why don't you come be part of our network and we'll help promote you? And it can get you a little bit more exposure. But my recommendation to people generally would be, unless you see a really clear advantage that's going to help you achieve the goal and the vision that you set out for when you created your podcast, I would just go about it on my own and make sure that I create a strong marketing plan and a promotional plan for my show and build your own brand.
Yeah. Are you guys doing any kind of monetization with your network?
We're trying.
Okay.
We do have some sponsors, and you know that helps offset the costs of operating the network because it's quite expensive every month to operate the network, and that all comes out of my pocket, or at least my company's pocket right now. Mm-hmm. The question is, how do you do it? Of course, I approached it from my magazine background, right? Where you get advertisers. And we've quickly found out that it's not that easy in podcasting. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm also a marketer. I know it sounds like I do all kinds of different things and I have no idea who I am, but actually they all work together. So I went from magazines and design into managing the communications department for a large membership club in Tokyo called the Tokyo American Club. And then from there, I went into corporate stuff and I was the marketing director for a global technology company. And so in that role, I did a lot of media buying. So I'm on the marketing side and I'm the one placing the ads and I'm the one buying the space on websites and in magazines. And there were no podcasts at the time, so I didn't have to think about that. So I came into the network with that mindset and I've had to start to adapt to the realities that marketers, as forward-thinking as I try to be as a marketer, most people in marketing departments don't yet take podcasts seriously. It's changing. We're starting to see more people saying, I want to try it. And some people who try it say, wow, I got great results. I got better results than I did on the radio, but they haven't spread the word yet. And so in terms of monetizing, we're still trying to do that, but it's been way more difficult than we thought. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking into monetizing through other channels, merchandise, about the network. So that's one way, but also, you know, digging even more deeply into Star Trek and providing a product that people would actually want to pay for that's separate from the podcasts. Because I view ultimately, no matter what your topic is, I think your podcast is a tool for furthering your business or furthering other monetization efforts. The podcast itself isn't necessarily the place where you're going to see the revenue directly come in.
Absolutely. I've actually been corrected by some people. I know I had Jordan from The Art of Charm, and I said he started a six-figure podcast. And I've had people say, no, he didn't. He used his podcast to boost a business. And I'm like, you know right. what? I stand corrected. Yeah, I should not. I should have said his podcast is helping boost a six-figure business. There,
right.
there really is no such thing as a six-figure podcast unless you're John Lee Dumas.
Right. Now, the podcast may have been the initial seed for that.
Right.
And then from there, it grew.
Yeah.
And something else came along that the podcast supports. And then that brought in the six figures.
Yeah.
So you can trace it back to the podcast, but you're generally not making six figures from selling ad spots on your podcast.
Right. I'm on your website again, which is just trek.fm. You are using, for lack of a better phrase, the font that looks very Star Trek-y, and you kind of mm-hmm. have a symbol that looks very similar to some of the things I've seen on their shirts and stuff. Have you ever worried about any kind of infringement on copyright or things of that nature?
Worried, yes, but I took steps to minimize that.
Okay.
For our cover art, especially for our series shows, we do have ships from each of those series. but that's artwork that is from the artist who did it. We know the artists, and we had asked them, can we use your artwork in our cover art? And they gave us the artwork, and then it's there. And we sent them the covers and the header art as well, so they can look at it and say, okay, yep, looks good to me. You're good to go. And, you know, CBS watches everything we do. I know people there at CBS Consumer Products, and they watch what we do. And they know that, they've told me before, you guys do great work. We love the way that you represent the franchise. And so it's a fine line. My recommendation for anyone who's dealing with a franchise property is don't build anything from the franchise, the name or any of the branding, into your own branding from the start. And when you do use something, get permission to use it, of course, and make sure that you're representing the franchise well. You know, we're extremely respectful of Star Trek. And even when we have something negative to say, we always try to approach it from both sides. And we try to find the good in it, because our ultimate goal is to make the franchise healthy. And generally, if you're upfront with people and the people who own these franchises, and, you know, don't hide what you're doing from them, make sure they know what you're doing, and they can see how you're trying to help their brand, they're a lot more understanding than you think. I don't know why there's this perception that anyone who owns a franchise property is just going to come down on you if you breathe the name of the property. Just be cautious, but don't let it deter you from talking about something that you love.
What are some of the hurdles that you've come across in launching this and bringing new shows on and actually just kind of being a network?
I think the biggest hurdle, and we've not had many problems with this, but it is something that is always a potential, and it's the reason why we kind of get to know hosts before we put them in a prominent role of like a weekly host on one of the shows, is where ego competes with the overall group. We're a family, and, you know, I run the network, but I don't see myself as being any different than any of our other hosts. You know, we're all a family. For me, all the shows are equal. I promote them all equally. I want them all to have a large audience. But occasionally you'll have someone come in who is more into being on the network or just podcasting in general for themselves, not for the network. Mm. And it's
that whole thing called ego that we all love. And that's why, again, you need to know these people. And we talked for a very long time. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why he now does that. He talks to people first before he gives them their own show. Because you got to have somebody who shares the same vision you do.
All about them. And so you have to watch out for that. That's probably the biggest hurdle in maintaining the network. I want our hosts to have differing opinions about Star Trek, but to be able to talk about it in a constructive manner and be able to see the point of view of the other person, so that anyone listening can take something away from the show and hopefully also have a more open view of something that they felt they had a really strong opinion of before. And so finding people who can do that takes getting to know them. I generally I'll have like a trial chat with people who want to come on the Ready Room before I bring them on the show, if I don't already know them. And the reason I do that is, you know, I just want to see if they're going to be stubbornly opinionated and they're going to cause us to have to can a show that we recorded, because we've actually had it happen on our network before, not on my show, but on one of our other shows. We had an episode that had to be stopped in the middle and canned because a guest just refused to listen to anyone's viewpoint. Nice. And if anyone tried to talk, they would just start talking over that person. And finally, the host said, like, this is enough. We're just going to stop here. And then the following week, they re-recorded the show without that one guest. That's another, I guess, hurdle to putting out a good product, is just getting to know people and you know, filling things out and knowing what you're going to talk about and knowing what you want your product to be and not compromising your product.
So what would you say to somebody who's thinking of starting their own network?
I think the first thing I would tell them is don't do it unless you have a specific vision or a roadmap. And the thing is that if you think podcasting is hard and time consuming, try running a network with 16 shows. It's really, really hard work, especially if you're trying to maintain a cohesive brand. If you want to do it, if you have a vision and you have a plan, then that's great. You know, it's a wonderful way to get exposure. So if you have that kind of vision, it's great to do a network like this, but it's extremely hard work, and it's hard work for everyone involved, not just the person who's actually running everything up at the top. And so you have to be devoted to it.
Tell everybody where they can find you.
Social media is the best way to chat with me. I'm a Twitter guy, so my username on Twitter is C Brian Jones. That's the letter C and Brian with a Y. And I use the same username all throughout social media.
Got it. And the actual network is at?
Trek.fm. Although if you're an iTunes user, really the best place to find all of our podcast content is to just go to itunes.com/trekfm. And that'll take you right to our artist section. It'll open it right up there in your iTunes application.
Well, Christopher, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was just a real pleasure to talk to you, Dave. As I said at the beginning, I love school podcasting. It's just a great resource. And somehow I podcasted for 4 years without finding your show, and I wish I had found it sooner, but I really love it.
Well, I'm glad you found me. That's what counts. So that's a beautiful thing. And I definitely appreciate you listening. So everybody, if you're into Star Trek, again, go over to trek.fm. Thanks again.
Thanks, Dave.
Awesome. Good conversation there. And the question I love there is, what would you say to the person thinking of starting a network? And he said, yeah, maybe skip it. If you ask that question to my friend Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast and say, what do you think about somebody starting a network? He'll say, yeah, maybe you shouldn't. It's a lot of work, it sounds like. And people have asked me, why don't you have a network, Dave? You have enough shows. And I have said, I have other fish to fry at the moment, and it sounds like adding more work. And so maybe something I do in 2015. I doubt I get to it in 2014. I'm still rebuilding parts of the School of Podcasting and things of that nature. So I do want to thank you for tuning in. That is going to do it for this week. Again, if you're looking to launch a podcast, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com. Click on the Join Now button. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER. If you ever have a coupon not work, just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact and let me know there. Also, always looking for, like Bill said, thank you again to Bill Hutchison for giving us that inspiring because of my podcast story. Always looking for those. If you got it because of my podcast, if you can just answer that question, because of my podcast, I was able to blank. Always looking for it. Some sort of doors that have been opened, whatever it is. Love to hear those. Also looking for what I call last five in five. And that is where not your favorite five podcasts, but what were the last five you listened to? So here's how this works. You can send me a MP3. You can also call it in 888-563-3228. But these are ways that you can get your voice on this podcast. And so all you have to do is say, hey, this is so-and-so from the such-and-such podcast, and then give us your elevator pitch. Don't give me a half-hour elevator pitch where you can, you know, where we talk about all things podcasting from planning to promoting to producing. My website is schoolofpodcasting.com. And here's the last five podcasts I listened to. I listened to Libsyn Live, which is a podcast put out by Libsyn's Tech Support. I listened to the New Media Show at newmediashow.com, which is hosted by Todd Cochran of the Blueberry Network and Rob Greenlee, who's now part of Podcast One. I listened to the Joel Osteen podcast. Let's see, that's three. Who's the happy Jesus, man? You gotta love him. Listen to WordPress Plugins A to Z. Man, that show is on fire lately. If you love plugins, check out WordPressPluginsA2Z.com. And then the Computer Tutor with my buddy Scott Johnson, who will be on the show in a future episode talking about how podcasting is helping to boost his business. And if you would like to join in on the conversation again, I would love to hear from you. schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. Get involved. Be on the show if you want in any way. Would love to touch base with you. Like I said, at the beginning of the year, my kind of mantra for this year was names, not numbers. And now I can add Christopher to the book of names that I know, and I look forward to adding yours. So thanks you so much for tuning in. Let me remind you that it is time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And until next week, class is dismissed. Take care and God bless.